11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, goal. Scoring the goals.
Hello, welcome along to the League Podcast, the Championship edition. If you want to check out Sam Ashew's picks on League One and League Two, that is already out there in the online world, I think they call it these days. You can get these podcasts at the72.co.uk, audioboom.com, williamhill.com/podcasts. And if you subscribe via iTunes, we deliver them. We present them, we produce them. All you've got to do is listen to them, basically. Pete Farris is here to look at six championship matches and give us a nap of the week. You well, Pete?
Yeah, fine, thank you. I don't actually have to physically deliver them, do I?
Yes, no. That's, did I not tell you that part of the deal?
Oh, it's not even worth my £3 a shift,
no. They get delivered digitally.
Ah,
I don't know how it works.
That's a canny system.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Let's have a look at the two TV games first, shall we, in the Championship. The first one is on Friday night, and it's Fulham versus Charlton. Fulham are 8-11. The draw is priced up at 5-2, and Charlton are 4-1. Charlton are currently seventh in the Championship with 22 points from their 13 games. Fulham are still in the bottom three with 11 points from their 13. But obviously the form has turned around somewhat. If we include cup games, just to be kind to them, only one defeat in the last six. It's one defeat in the last five if you don't include the cup game, so still a good record. Charlton have been the subject of quite a lot of consternation on Twitter, Pete. Haven't they? Some of the football hipsters have been talking about them. A lot of the punters have been talking about them, the tipsters, because that Bournemouth game that I picked them to score a goal in last week, Bournemouth won it. And a lot of people are saying that the league position doesn't reflect where Charlton should be, i.e. they shouldn't be that high. What's your take on them? They beat Bolton 2-1 in the week.
My take is, in this league, it doesn't matter what you deserve and what you don't deserve sometimes in the Championship. Yeah. It happens. We all know how bizarre this league can be, how chaotic it can be. So I'm not a believer in that at all. I mean, first of all, I hate the phrase football hipsters anyway, probably because I'm a football hipster, I suppose. So I hate the phrase. I hate being lumped in the genre.
I want to be a football hipster. I'll never be a football hipster.
Let me tell you about Carabao.
Do you know why I'll never be a football hipster?
Why?
It's because I like horrible challenges too much. I don't think you can be a football hipster if you enjoy people getting fouled and red cards.
Well, the ultimate phrase is, listen, I've been talking about this guy for ages, and I've done that with everyone, and it's really annoying, even for myself while I do it.
Brilliant.
But no, seriously, I mean, Charlton, they were only beaten for the first time away at Bournemouth, weren't they?
Yeah.
Of course, in the week, a superb kick in the face of Socks Up Syndrome by beating Bolton Wanderers. Did really, really well, to be fair, to Charlton. I don't believe in that at all. I think they've played well. I think their price last weekend was too big. If you're looking at it from a betting angle, the price is far too big on them last weekend. Obviously didn't come off, but it wasn't exactly like it was blown out of the water. And for a big price, you got yourself a bit of a run for your money anyway. I am happy to oppose them here, though. Lost against Bournemouth away at Bournemouth. And then the Bolton game. 2-0 up, Tushadeyan and Johnny Jackson scored the two goals. But what I think is interesting is that Bolton are still a side very much in progress. And you could level, very fairly, the same argument about Fulham. You know, Kit Simons has done a good job, but they are still a work in progress. The four or five man super team, the Avengers style thing that they put together to find the new manager, may well just settle on the guy they put in charge, caretaker, anyway. But I still think here that Fulham are a really good bet. I'll tell you for a couple of reasons. Firstly, that performance against Bolton, a side who I believe, you know, aren't great, but they blew them away. They beat Norwich, another side in poor form. But Charlton away from home, look at their away form. Just dropped the phone there, Lee.
I thought you were just giving me enough time to look at the away form.
A massively dramatic pause.
I was looking at it.
Yeah, no. Look at the away form. They've lost to Bournemouth. They've narrowly beaten the poor Norwich side. They've drawn with Rotherham, who are okay. They've drawn with Brighton, who have got some of the worst form in the league. And they've drawn with Huddersfield at a time in which Huddersfield weren't very good. So, as much as I do believe Charlton deserve to be where they deserve to be, because quite frankly, that's the Championship. I do think they are a little more frail on the road. I mean, you look at the Huddersfield Town game, they had to come from behind, of course, last minute. Against the Brighton game, yes, they were stung last minute. You could look at that, but, you know, they blew it a little bit against Rotherham. So they've not exactly been convincing draws or draws where they've managed to have all the momentum and get back into it. They've been stung more often than not in those games. I think Fulham are a great bet. But the other reason is they've got a man in Ross McCormack who loves playing Charlton. He's faced them five times as the, what was he, £35 billion man. Scored six goals in those five games against Charlton. He absolutely loves playing Charlton. So that headline offer as well, Ross McCormack to score, Fulham to win, 3-1. I just think they're going to outscore Charlton, and I think we're going to see a bit of improvement from Fulham. I really do. I think Kit Simons has got the squad settled, and the squad a little bit unlike, well, not even a little bit, completely unlike what it was like under Felix Magath. They like the man in charge, and they want to play for the man in charge, and I think that's clear.
The Saturday lunchtime game sees Millwall play Cardiff. 8-5 Millwall, 21-10 the draw, and Cardiff are priced up at 9-5. Not such a good form for Millwall. No win now in the last eight matches. The last win was the 2-1 win against Blackpool, which, you know, everyone was beating Blackpool at the time and pretty much still are, really. So it's been a pretty wretched season for Millwall, full stop. In fact, the only other win was the win over Leeds, who were in a bit of turmoil at the time, and the win at Fulham, who were obviously in turmoil as well. So we're struggling, Millwall, but they do pick up points here and there. 14 points from the 13 games, so the draws are keeping them, I guess, just above water. Cardiff back-to-back wins, Pete, at home. 2-1 Forest, 3-1 Ipswich. Good bit of form, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, a good start for Russell Slade as well, isn't it? But what I think is very clear here is goals. I appreciate that at home, Millwall, you'd normally associate the Den with being a stifling atmosphere where goals don't come. They started with that 2-0 win over Leeds, 1-0 against Rotherham. They've had a 0-0 against Forest. But in three of the last five, let's be fair, they've had a 2-1 against Blackpool, a 3-1 against Birmingham, a 3-all against Wolves. And don't forget, Millwall are a side who are bottom of the form table. So if you look at that as well, I mean, Millwall have to be in some way, shape or form, in my opinion, opposed. Despite the fact that Cardiff's good form of late against Ipswich and Forest has, of course, come at home. And the last time they went away was a disastrous loss to Blackpool as well through that Francois Zocco goal. But look at Cardiff. Even away from home, 1-1, 2-1, 1-1, there are goals in those games. Now, when you consider that both sides will fancy this, I don't think for a second that Ian Holloway is going to set his men up to just gently or just to try and grind something out. It's not his style, and it's not going to happen here. I couldn't believe the price on overs. Now, I said this about the Chesterfield game last weekend, of course, and had to watch as about 50 shots were saved and went wide. But over 2.5 match goals in this Millwall-Cardiff game is 23-20. Now, that's incredible. That is incredible. Again, at home, 3-all, 3-1, 2-1 in the last four games they've had. You look, generally speaking, at all of the last five, 0-0, before that, 3-all, before that, 0-0, before that, 3-1, 2-1. There are goals in these games. I mean, you could argue that the both teams to score is probably the best of all of that. At a 10-11, you know, your choice, I'd choose yes. But over 2.5, at 23-20, with those form lines, get out of here.
Okay. Next up.
Can I just say immediately that I regret doing that last bit?
No, it's fine. I like it. I'm going to take the clip out and just put that as a special piece on Audio Boom.
Yeah, I do. As soon as I did that, I thought, you shouldn't do this.
It worked. I thought it worked. but then taking my advice on stuff like that probably isn't the best. Derby versus Wigan next. Good game, this one. 4-5 Derby, 23-10 the draw. 19-5 Wigan. It's interesting. I was at Derby County this week, and not often I get a chance to go to out to a football club. And tell you what, Pete, they aren't half ready to get in the Premier League. Everyone's so confident. Not that they're being cocky and saying we're going to go up, but everyone's so cocky there. They're actually kind of behind the scenes, got plans in place for Premier League football. And it's not surprising. I mean, look at the form, and they are they're in great nick. Another win in the week, 1-0 away at Blackpool. Another clean sheet there, beat Reading 3-0. What they said to me, talking to some of the guys behind the scenes, was the only problem they've got is that everyone's now coming to their place and just parking the bus, and they're finding it pretty hard at times to break them down. You'd imagine that's what Wigan might do, that, because they're without a win now in the last eight games, Wigan. And they'd be delighted with a draw at Derby, wouldn't they?
They would. I mean, but what level of pragmatism do you expect from Uwe Rosler? I mean, I don't think he's that kind of manager. And also, it's a dangerous game, that, because Derby, as you say, are playing superbly. There's been a weird thing all season that the traders have almost been trying to goad you all season with Wigan, hasn't there? Because their form at no point this year has been particularly good, has it? Uwe Rosler is one of the men very much under pressure in terms of managers right now. And I don't think Derby, top of the league in the form they're in. I mean, Steve McLaren's come out and said, my squad's better than last season. Think about some of the players they've lost, the likes of, you know, Bamford, who they had on loan and was scoring goals, so on. But they've been absolutely blistering. They've played such amazingly good football. They're ruthless, they're utterly ruthless. They've continued, really, the form that they charged under Steve McLaren with last season. I just thought, I'm not a big fan of putting up an 8-11 on the podcast, Lee, but I just thought that for a side top against a side who, in Wigan, have the third worst form in the Championship, it just seemed huge. Mm. It seemed absolutely huge. The other man, and it's no real great surprise to say this, worth looking at is, of course, Chris Martin. A brace against Fulham, scored against Ipswich, scored, of course, against Bournemouth as well. 4 in the last 5 in total. Even money anytime might not warm the cockles, but I think it's probably a good way in. The other thing to say is, there may be some discussion over Wigan's draw record recently. Drawn 4 of the last 5. Maybe there is a bit of that pragmatism from Uwe Rosler, but in my mind, they score in this game, Derby County. No question, they score. At which point, you've got to look at Wigan's games and say, well, they've only scored in 1 of the last 5. Yes, it was a 2-2 draw with Wolves, but right now, they're not looking particularly dangerous up front. So if Derby get 1, they're likely to win. If they get 2, in my opinion, they definitely win. And Derby, despite that 0-0, and I know they've drawn 3 of the last 5 at home, but despite that 0-0 against Millwall, they score goals. 2 against Bolton, 2 against Bournemouth, 3 against Reading. Only narrowly beat Blackpool, but Blackpool are being a bit awkward customers at the moment. 8-11 just seemed absolutely ridiculous, to the extent that actually my favourite bet in this game is 2-1 Derby minus a goal.
Right, yeah, nice, very good. Let's look at Birmingham's game, shall we? Of course, all sorts going on off the pitch at Birmingham this week. They're playing Bournemouth, that team we've already mentioned. 3-1 at the Blues, 11-5 the draw, and the Cherries are even money. I don't know if you heard it, Pete, but there was an interview done by Tom Ross, I think it was. I think it's Tom Ross, he's called, in the Midlands. Interviewed Lee Clark, and Lee Clark was giving it all that. Look, I've kept my counsel for too long now. I'm going to come out and I'm going to fight my corner now. Got sacked the next day. Probably should have kept his counsel a bit longer, to be fair to him. But the writing was on the wall for a long time. If Bournemouth are this team that everyone is loving in the hipster world, why are they even money to go to Birmingham?
Let me answer that with a second question.
Okay.
I don't know. Do you? No idea.
No.
Absolutely
maybe
zero idea.
It's getting rid- we talked about this the other way, didn't we? When I think it was Mark O'Hare on Twitter did that analysis of the games after the manager goes and how many wins there are, how many points are picked up. Maybe the performance will improve because he's gone.
Maybe, but maybe. I still think that back line is very gettable. Mm. I'm a big fan of David Edgar, but he did not play for quite a while. You know, Jonathan Grounds, former Borough lad, good player. But, I mean, in a Championship at the moment, you've got to be at that extra level. And I just think that Birmingham are struggling to be that. Yes, they've got a goal. Someone like Clayton Donaldson, for example. We all know what this guy can do up front. Wes Thomas is dangerous. Kobe Arthur. Even the loney Breck Shea from Stoke can be a dangerous character. But Bournemouth play some of the most attractive football in this division.
Yeah.
It might not be at times the most ruthless, albeit they have won 4 of the last 5 games. But if I was having a little outside punt on a team to get promoted this season, I'd be looking at this. Callum Wilson's come out this week and basically, I know he's his boss and there's never anything wrong with sucking up to your boss, but he's been incredibly complimentary about Eddie Howe this week. Going on about how he's... That's not a pun that I meant to do, by the way. How Eddie Howe has gone off and done really well in terms of the organisation, the way he's got the players set up, but also sticking to a philosophy. And I think a philosophy is always a very important thing to have as a manager. You know, sometimes you get managers you can describe in one sentence the philosophy, and others you can't, and they're often the ones that, you know, there's inconsistent results or they're in middle ground, and Eddie Howe knows how he wants to play football. They have been absolutely exceptional. Yes, their away form hasn't been. They lost at Blackburn, lost at Derby. Fair enough, I'll give them Derby. Drew at Norwich and drew at Watford. fair enough, I'll give them Watford. And don't forget, at this point, Norwich were looking pretty decent in August when they drew there. And they've beaten Bolton. Birmingham, well, you know, one win at home all season, opening day to Brighton. And it just doesn't really look good for them here for me. Very quickly on Lee Clark. While he can be a difficult customer to interview at times and so on, I do think he's done a very good job at Birmingham. Don't forget the absolute nonsense that's been going on behind the scenes ages and ages and ages. Mm. And he kept them up. He basically did everything he could do on the budget he was given and on the circumstance he was given. And I think to his credit, actually, you know, he did do very well. And obviously he's reached breaking point, has said what he said, and then the next day he's gone, oh, I don't have a job anymore. But he'll get another one. And in the Championship, it'll be soon. It'll be League One Championship and he'll run away with it and it'll be easy. And I do think he's going to be a manager still worthy of watching personally. But Bournemouth at even money, when you consider Birmingham's problems, and ultimately as a punter, Birmingham's form, that'll do for me.
Yeah, nice. I may have to take this out after consideration with the League Podcast lawyers. Did you know, Pete, that they...
Five.
So, yeah, I think that probably will have to come out, in fact. Let's move on, shall we, Pete? The next game we'll look at is Ipswich at home to Huddersfield Town. Ipswich are 11-10. The Terriers are 5-2, and the draw is 23-10. Ipswich are ninth now with 20 points from their 13 games, 4 points better off than Huddersfield, and a full 10 goals better off in terms of goal difference as well. That kind of talk about Huddersfield like that kind of belies their recent form, though. They've after a dreadful start, really, they're now unbeaten in 5, 3 wins and 2 draws, scoring a few goals as well. At Millwall, they won 2-1. They won 3-1 at Wolves, obviously a very good result, and beat Blackpool 4-2. A couple of draws in there. And Ipswich's form has probably gone the other way, Pete. No winning 4 now, but three of those were draws. So only one defeat, and that was to Cardiff last week.
And three of those were away from home as well.
Yeah.
Away at Cardiff, away at Forest, away at Sheffield Wednesday. Had that draw at home against Blackburn, but let's not kid ourselves. I mean, they are still basically one of the daddies if you're looking at home form this season. They are a very, very good team indeed at Portman Road, and that's exactly what Mick McCarthy wanted from them. Interesting what Roy Keane said this week when he's in charge of Ipswich in another one of his quote-unquote revelations. He doesn't like the colour blue and wanted to change the colour of Ipswich shirts. There's a little factoid for you.
Yeah,
but,
sort of City reference there, isn't there?
Yeah, but Chelsea. Look, I really do like Ipswich here. It is as simple and as pure as that. I really like Ipswich to win this game. Huddersfield, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, no one really thought that Chris Powell was going to do a bad job, because Chris Powell, Charlton did an absolutely exceptional job. But ultimately, I think a little bit of momentum will be lost this weekend, but they'll be fine. Certainly with him in charge, they're going to be absolutely fine. Great manager. He's obviously made Grant Holt feel loved. He's basically given Grant Holt a second life, and Holt's repaying him in spades at the moment. And I just think, again, you look at who's gone there recently: Millwall, Brighton, Rotherham. Two poor sides, one okay side. And Huddersfield are probably better than Millwall and Brighton at the moment, but I'd put them generally about on a par with Rotherham United, and that for me suggesting that Ipswich win 2-0 against Rotherham. Found it very, very simple indeed. I appreciate it was a crazy opening, what, 8 minutes was it, with the two McGoldrick goals, but I think even money is very, very good yet again for them. Worth looking at McGoldrick as well, 11-8 any time. This is a guy who really, really likes playing at home at the moment. I know Daryl Murphy, is he fit, is he not? There may be some questions over that, and if he is fit, then fantastic. But McGoldrick scored, of course, against Blackburn, scored against Rotherham, didn't score against Brighton, but scored in the win against Millwall. I think 11-8 is a very handsome price for a man in good goal-scoring form.
Yes, let's have a look at Brighton's game finally. Brighton are up against Rotherham United. The league positions, Brighton just hovering above the bottom three, a point above Fulham, 12 points from 13. Rotherham 4 points better off than that. They've got identical goal differences. No win now for Brighton in the last 5-4 draws in that run, though. The only loss was at home to Middlesbrough, so not too bad, but that kind of came hot on the heels of another run where they didn't win in four. The only win separating those two bad runs is the 3-0 win at Burton Albion in the League Cup. So disastrous, really. Not disastrous, but that's maybe over-egging the pudding a little bit. But no win in eight isn't clever, is it, Pete, in the Championship? And Rotherham, no defeat in four now, scoring a few goals as well, the Millers.
Let me answer this again, but this time in the form of some kind of rhyming couplet.
Why not?
I should have thought of one. I like biscuits. They are nice. In terms of Brighton and Rotherham, I don't understand the price. 16-5 Rotherham. Was that bad?
It's decent. Yeah.
I'll take that.
Is that the preview?
Sorry.
Is that the preview?
Are no, that was it. I was going to wrap it originally, but yeah, I decided against it.
You've already like pushed the line a little bit this podcast. With that phrase you used earlier on, so let's not do rapping. Let's save that to next week.
But look, Brian, like you say, their form is for, in terms of their opinion, terrible. I know they've drawn four of the last five, but no wins since the 23rd of August, beating, let's be fair, a side who were really struggling, Bolton at the time. Why on earth, in a billion trillion years, are they 5-6 in this game? If I, for example, let's go to the William Hill console, okay? And look, for example, at Derby, who, while recording the podcast, are 4-5. So they've changed, obviously, while we're recording it, from 8-11 to 4-5. So Derby are 4-5, yeah?
Yeah.
Brighton are 10-11. Obviously not the same price, but quite close. Which of those is the better bet? Why on earth are a side who've not won in this many games 10-11?
I honestly don't know.
Because Rotherham's away form isn't... I mean, their general form, two wins in five, lost to Ipswich, drew at Norwich, you know, 3-3, that crazy game with Fulham. And yes, their away form this season, Rotherham, hasn't been good. Lost narrowly at Derby, but fair enough. Mm. Beat Millwall, drew at Bournemouth, fair enough. Maybe would have liked to have done better in Norwich, but then lost to Ipswich, fair enough. And yes, the 3-2 loss of a Bolton. So that they I can kind of get why they would be slight outsiders here. But, I mean, 16-5.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I suppose they... It's a funny one, isn't it, Pete? Because I guess they want the draw on their side, really. That's the most obvious answer, isn't it? I suppose they look at the prices. They don't want Rotherham to be too... you could have easily pushed Brighton above even money, couldn't you? I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out, but I don't know. The draw is quite short, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, the draw. Well, yeah, because with the record that Brighton have had recently, like I said earlier on, three draws in five at home and generally four out of five. And
neither team are winning that many games, home and away, are they? Home and away. So I suppose, yeah, but if anyone has a bet on Brighton at 10-11, then they need to give up betting.
Well, there's no reason for it. I mean, they might be right, and if they are, then...
Yeah, I'll hold my hand up if they win. Even if they win, Pete, they still shouldn't have the bet.
Well, I agree. I mean, when you look at the draw, no bet in this game for Rotherham being 2-1. So you think about the amount of draws recently that the Brighton have had. If it is a draw, as Alan Partridge has said, cash back. You know, it's as simple as that. I mean, it is crazy to me, the pricing of this game. It really, really is. And this is going to be one of the. I tend to have a kind of a on my favourite bets acca, and then I'll have a pound on an acca where it's kind of that's too big, and that's too big. Sometimes I'll play those bets as draw no bets. Sometimes I'll just play them as outrights and hope that I win 1,000-1. But the point remains that this would go, and in fact will go, into that £1 acca this weekend because it's too big. You know, they're off the back, of course, of just bagging three. I know it was a 3-3 draw, but that's still, you know, impressive goal-scoring prowess in their most recent game. You know, I know that against Fulham it was a bit mad in the 90th minute. It hurt them very badly when burned them, if you will, equalised against Rotherham. But it's just, it is ridiculous to me, the pricing of this. I mean, it's as strange to me as the Charlton pricing was last week.
Yes.
I'll put it that way.
Yeah. And obviously the trader's got that one right. So there is always that. They don't do things for the fun of it.
No, but in terms of the bets in this game, there's still quite a few that I've got to say I do like. Highest scoring half, second half, would certainly be one of the places I'd go. This is a market that I do sometimes play and put up on the podcast. It's always in goal markets pre-match, the highest scoring half. Second half is even money for that. And there is some collateral form. form for that. I mean, it didn't land in Brighton's home game against Bolton, but did land very comfortably against Charlton. It didn't land against Cardiff, but again, landed comfortably against Middlesbrough. We had a crazy second half with four goals in it in Rotherham's game against Fulham recently. Appreciate that was at home, but still. Two in the second half against Leeds. There have been a fair amount of goals in those games of late. So I think the second half, highest scoring half at even money would be another place to go. But draw no bet Rotherham, 2-1. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes, daddy-o.
Daddy-o.
Let's get a nap from Pete, shall we? Sam Ashu picked his nap in League One. He's gone back to a somewhere where he had a bit of luck a couple of weeks back, and that's Sheffield United scoring in the second half, basically, is the basis of his bet. You can hear this on the League One and League Two podcast, but I'll just recap it for you. First Sheffield United goal after the 46th minute is 19-10, very briefly. Eight of the last 13 games have featured Sheffield United scoring their first goal after the 46th minute, and each of the last four away games that would have landed. So a nice little bet. Mine is in League 2. It's Stevenage versus Burton, over 2.5 goals. This was 6-5 when I put it up, so I'm claiming that price. It's 10-11 as we record this today, which still isn't the right price. Stevenage, 71% of their home games have featured over 2.5 goals. 71% of Burton's away games have featured over 2.5 goals, so it's a joint percentage of 71%. By my reckoning, 6-5 means it's got a 45% chance of landing, and even 10-11 means it's got a 52% chance of landing. So I still like the prices. Peter, what's yours going to be?
Well, two. And yesterday, travelling back from London at 2 in the morning, and I was thinking, it's going to be one of these two bets, and I didn't know which one it was going to be, and I thought, sleep on it tonight. And I slept on it, and I woke up, and I thought, I still don't know which one it's going to be. The first one is the Ross McCormack headline offer. Great record against Charlton. Played them five times, scored six goals in those games. I'm convinced Fulham win that game, despite Charlton's qualities. And Fulham to win and him to score any time is 3-1. So that's great. But then I keep coming back to this overs goals in the Cardiff-Millwall game. It's just too big at 23-20, and of course it gives me more safety. It's not quite as narrow a bet. Of course, at the same time, it's not quite as good a value, but it's not quite as narrow a bet for me. And you look at the way the Cardiff are scoring. They put Adam Lafondre through the middle again. He was playing in a completely alien position to him. He's scoring goals now. 9-5, any time for him is worth a look as well. You know, they're back three against a good Ipswich side. I appreciate that Ipswich travel less well than they're at home, but still, three in that game was superb. Conceded as well. Conceded against Nottingham Forest, but won the game. Millwall have scored three against Wolves, you know, scored against Birmingham, scored against Huddersfield and lost those games. Well, drew with Wolves, I suppose, but still scored three in it. And I think there's goals, and I think that Ian Holloway really is not going to set his side up for a third 0-0 in four. So I am going to go with a 23-20 over 2.5 goals, Millwall-Cardiff.
Very good. So 23-20, over 2.5, Millwall, Cardiff for Pete. Over 2.5 in the Stevenage-Burton game for me. And the first Sheffield United goal to be scored after the 46th minute. That's in goal times, by the way, if you're looking for that one. That's 19-10. Nice little treble, should it land. Peter, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Lee, and I wish you the very best.
And you. Thank you for listening, and if you're having a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.